Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we are thinking together concerning the Gospel of John. I've explained to you before that this is a gospel we cannot very quickly go through, because its truths are essential for our understanding, and therefore we need to examine these truths section by section as we go through this book, and even sometimes verse by verse. Now, as we have studied this book, we've studied a number of things concerning the Lord Jesus. First of all, we studied the two main themes of the book, and these themes, of course, are continuing themes. These two main themes are, first of all, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The major question today is this question: is Jesus really God? Is he God the Son? Did he come down from heaven, from the presence of the Father? And did he come down as God the Son to be born in human flesh and to suffer and die for our sins? This is a major question, and the Scriptures answer this question very, very clearly. The Lord Jesus is the divine Son of God. You see this taught, first of all, in the introduction to the book, verses 1 to 18 of chapter 1. Then you see it taught throughout the book, where Jesus declares again and again his equality with the Father. At one point he says in chapter 5 that all should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So the Lord Jesus is the divine Son of God. And because he is, he has the power and the authority and the ability to be our Savior. How wonderful this truth is for us as believers. And then the second truth is the truth concerning his salvation that he came to bring. In other words, what is the means of salvation? And the Scriptures are very clear, especially now in the Gospel of John, that Jesus is the way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. There is no other way apart from the Lord Jesus. There's no person, there is nothing we do, there's no good works of ours which will help take us to heaven. It is by the grace of God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that we can go to heaven. So we trust in him as our Savior. Now this truth is also taught throughout this book of John. And then we went through this book together. And I want to just review this very quickly with you. We took the introduction to the book, and then from the introduction to the book, we went to the period of consideration, chapter 119 to 454, when people were considering the Lord Jesus. And then from there, we went to the period of controversy, when the issues of belief and unbelief were being debated by people. People had not so much finally made up their minds, but they were debating some of these important issues. Then we came to the period of controversy, where the Lord Jesus is in open controversy, especially with the Jewish leaders and with some of the crowd who refuse to believe. In other words, Jesus is asserting, I am the way, and Jesus is also asserting who he is and what he is and why he has come. And these people are now disputing with him. They're in controversy with him. Then, of course, after that was a period of conflict, where actually these people now have taken a stand. They now have decided they're either going to receive him or they're not going to receive him, and countless numbers of them, especially among the leaders, have turned against him. And there's a clash between them and the Lord Jesus. It's a period of great conflict. Then there was this period of crisis, when people are openly declaring their belief and unbelief. We find this in chapter 11, verse 54 to chapter 12, verse 36. But now we're in this period of conference. We're just barely into this period. It begins in chapter 13 and will go through chapter 17. It's a period when Jesus is conferring with his disciples concerning their lives, their future, and exactly how they can continue to work for him even though he will no longer be with them on the earth. In other words, Jesus is going to die. He's going to rise from the dead. He will ascend back into heaven. He will not be with them anymore. But now Jesus is discussing what will their future lives be and how blessed they will be even though his actual presence on the earth is not with them. Now this brings us to the subject of the coming ministries of the Holy Spirit that he's promising them. Now you and I, of course, have the Holy Spirit indwelling in our lives. But when the Lord Jesus was there on the earth, the Holy Spirit had not yet been sent from heaven. And so the Lord Jesus now is making certain promises in the Gospel of John concerning the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and the ministries which even now are present in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And I want to notice, and I don't want to go into these deeply because I've given another long series of messages which some of you have heard on the subject of the Holy Spirit. And we discuss these at great length in that series of messages. But I want to note just what these ministries of the Holy Spirit would be. And there are 11 of these the Lord Jesus gives in this section of Scripture, chapters 14, 15, and 16. First of all, in chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, the Lord Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will give power to the Christian life. Now, the Holy Spirit is not actually mentioned here by name, but we know that power comes from the Holy Spirit. Power to live, power to witness, comes from the Holy Spirit. If you were to study Acts chapter 1, verse 8, for instance, it tells you very, very clearly that it's by the Holy Spirit they will have power to preach, power to witness, power to take a stand for Him. If you study Romans chapter 8, you find that victory over sin and the power to have victory over sin is given by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus makes a promise in verses 12 to 14 that they're going to take a stand for Him, they're going to witness for Him, and they will do mighty works in His name. The second ministry of the Holy Spirit is in verses 16 and 17. And here the Holy Spirit is promised and pictured as the one who comes alongside of us to lift us up, to encourage us, to strengthen us in the daily struggles of our lives. You see this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11, where God makes a promise to Paul, "My grace will be sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And we know that this strength is given by the Holy Spirit, by the indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, the picture here is the Holy Spirit coming alongside us to do it. And He indwells us, of course. But it's the idea of somebody who's walking along the road of life with us and is continually lifting us up so that we do not fall. What a wonderful picture this is. We will go through difficulties in the Christian life. But we have this one in our lives who continually is with us, walking alongside us, so to speak. And this indwelling Holy Spirit is the one who encourages, who uplifts, and who carries us through to victory in everything. Then the third ministry of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the presence of Christ to us. They were afraid for the Lord to go away. Will we ever see you again? Will we ever feel your presence with us again? And Jesus is saying, no, my Father and I will be present in your lives by the Holy Spirit. In other words, He will make our presence real to you, and you will feel our presence in your lives. You will never be far from us, because this third person of the Trinity, the divine Holy Spirit, will be sent and will live in your lives, and you will feel our presence. And then the fourth ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this is also a very important one, chapter 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit is also the one who illuminates our hearts in understanding biblical truth. Now, I don't want to go through this with you. We discussed this rather thoroughly in another series of messages. But I want to say that there are no new revelations from God today. God's revelation is complete in His Word. And if you hear people talking about getting new revelations from God, they are false teachers, whether it's the people of the cult groups or even sometimes Christians may claim, "Oh, God gave me a new revelation in a dream last night." No, His revelations are complete in the Word of God, and that's where we find all the truth we need to know. And so now we have the Holy Spirit who will illuminate God's revelation to us. In other words, He lightens our hearts so that we can understand the revelations of the Word of God itself. We see this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. Then the next ministry of the Holy Spirit is in verse 27 of chapter 14. And here, the Holy Spirit daily gives peace of heart to the believer. Now again, this follows directly after the fourth one, this one who illuminates our hearts. And so we believe this is also the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 is teaching this very thing, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So He gives peace even in the most difficult of times. So when we were promised peace in the Word of God, for instance, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, when we're promised peace in any passage of Scripture, it comes by and through the Holy Spirit. And then again, we also read in chapter 15, verse 11, another ministry of the Holy Spirit. Though He is not mentioned again by name, He also gives joy to us daily. Now, this is real joy of heart. It's not just laughter, but it's joy of heart, where we are not defeated, we're not worried, we have peace in our hearts, but we also have His joy in us. Again, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, this thing is mentioned as one of the fruits of the Spirit. He gives love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. Let's put it that way. And so this is another ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then again, in chapter 15, verse 26, he also teaches that the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us the full truth about the Lord, so that we can understand and believe the full truth concerning the Lord. Now, this is very, very important. When people study the Gospels, for instance, and they study the life of the Lord Jesus, or when they study Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 16, or 3 to 14, where we're taught about the blessings of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, or when we study the book of Colossians, chapters 1 and 2, where we learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, or when we study the book of Hebrews, which almost completely, especially down to chapter 11, is devoted to the life of the Lord Jesus and what He means to us. Now, what I'm getting at is this. When we study these various books of the Bible and these passages of Scripture that I've mentioned, we are taught concerning the Lord Jesus and concerning the truth about Him by the Holy Spirit. Some people read these passages of Scripture and they simply wonder, well, the problem is they've never been saved. In other words, they're trying to understand God's truth without ever being saved. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 clearly indicates it's only the man who is saved and who is spiritual who can really understand God's truth. So this truth is about the Lord Himself. In other words, if you have any questions about the Lord, you need to go to the Word of God, and you need to ask God by His Holy Spirit to help you to understand the truth concerning the Lord. And this is the promise of the Lord Jesus here. Then in chapter 16, verses 8 to 10, we also find another important ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this ministry is the ministry of convicting people of sin. He says in this passage, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Now, these especially would refer to unsaved people. In other words, these are people who are not yet saved. How can an unsaved person really acknowledge his sin? How can even know about his sin? We say, well, he's lost in sin, he's depraved, he belongs to the wrong family, and so forth. How can he ever know the truth about his need of a Savior? Well, it's the Holy Spirit, not yet indwelling this man, but working on this man's heart and convicting him of sin. I've seen this in church services. I'm sure the pastor of our church here has had many experiences where he's preached the Word, and the Holy Spirit has deeply convicted a lost person of his need of a Savior. And this person has now come to the Lord Jesus because of this conviction of sin. So this ministry is also very important in verses 8 to 10 of chapter 16. Then in chapter 16, verse 13, the Holy Spirit also reveals new truth to us. Now, I want to say this very carefully. This is the gift of prophecy. It was given to the people in the New Testament times. They did not have the written Word of God as far as the New Testament was concerned. They had most of the Old Testament, but not the New Testament. So they needed these new revelations from God. And these revelations eventually would become our New Testament. Now, we don't have these today. This ministry is not present today, this ministry of revealing new truth. But the Holy Spirit, of course, does open up the Word of God itself. I've pointed this out already. When we read the Word of God, the completed revelations of God, which can never be added to or taken away from, when we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit does illuminate our hearts. But I want to be very careful. He does not give new revelations today. But in those days, He did. And then the final ministry of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of exalting and glorifying the Lord Jesus. Now, there's been a great deal of misunderstanding about this. Some people pray to the Holy Spirit. They exalt the Holy Spirit. Oh, they talk about the Lord Jesus. They may even call their churches by the name of the Lord Jesus in some way, but they don't really exalt and glorify Him. All of the emphasis in some of the churches is upon the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that the Lord Jesus says that the Holy Spirit would not take of his own things, but he would take of my things, Jesus said, of his things, in other words, and give them to you. In other words, he will exalt and glorify. And then he says, he shall glorify me. And so this is one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit, to exalt and to glorify the Lord Jesus in our lives as he indwells us. As the Holy Spirit indwells us, he's constantly reminding us of how much we owe to the Lord Jesus, of his exalted person, his place as the divine Son of God, how someday we're going to worship him, we're going to bow down before him. Revelation chapter 5, if you want to refer to it, is a very important passage concerning this. So this ministry of the Holy Spirit is also very important. So Jesus is teaching in these three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, some 11 different ministries of the Holy Spirit. And I've pointed out before, there are many other passages of Scripture which reveal other ministries of the Holy Spirit. But these 11 are ones that we need to really look for in our lives as we live our Christian lives. There is every deep need of ours will be met. And that's what Jesus was teaching these disciples. No matter what the needs might be in your lives, the Holy Spirit will meet those needs as he indwells you, if you have truly trusted me as your Savior. So I want to bring this message to a close. And I want to simply remind you that we Christians have an obligation to love and to follow the Lord Jesus. And I trust this will be true in each of your lives. May the Lord help you, each one.